train. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. What's a curse? The fields and tunnels never falter, never fail. Keep your
second with the Ralph Winterroth Show, and coming back, and this is amazing information for me. It helps me put these pieces together to prove them, not speculation, prove the damn things. And I'm going to start with a brief overview again, because this is so critical, and it's a different way of, it's information, it's truth. Everybody is born in this country, on the land, is a citizen of the United States and a citizen of one of the several states. Why? Because we are a country that started off with the Articles of Confederation. We have the Constitution of the United States for a more perfect union. And you can't have the several states if you don't have the Constitution of the United States. So you got to be a citizen of the United States. And that has application if you're on a fort, arsenal, or the place you have exclusive jurisdiction. If you commit murder, there's cases on that. But we don't talk about that no more. And if you are having a case, which we're going to get into the IRS, how these cases are so freaking bogus. But the citizen of the of your, get into federal court, you have to have a citizen status. Where the hell are you? And the Supreme Court has said, residents don't get it, Bubba. Because some of these states are split up, maybe, in two districts, or some districts cover more than one state. But that ain't going to get it. You got to be attached to the land. You got to have a domicile. That is the real one. It's not defined. Then we come along with the statutory citizen of the United States. 14 Stat 27, 1866. Have the same rights as white citizens. Codified today in 42, United States Code, 1981, 1982. And 1988 actually goes back to the 1878 revised statutes. It's a statutorily created. It's a benefit. Anything created by statute is a benefit. It's called creating rights against the United States or creating rights against the state. It is a benefit. What Congress giveth or the legislature giveth, it can taketh away. It's a benefit. So they put it in the 14th. The illusion. Everybody born or naturalized, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Oh, we got all those qualifications. Is a citizen of the United States and a resident of a state. Resident, the Supreme Court says, bullshit. Doesn't exist. Can't use it. Because we don't know where your domicile is. You got to be a citizen of one of the several states. And it becomes quite clear when you start looking at this case. It says in these fictions, corporations, it says here the citizenship of a corporation can only be in the state by which it was created, although it may do business elsewhere. It says it cannot migrate to another sovereignty. It's one of the, if this one is a citizen of Michigan, its authority to exist is here. It can't pack up and move. It's a fiction. Under the strict control of whatever Michigan says it can do, the laws of Michigan. Pretty simple. stop and see it. They can do business elsewhere. Well, then, like I say, then the obvious question that comes along, well, how in the hell does the 14th Amendment get around this? How does a citizen of the United States and a resident of a state that has no domicile? Oh, they'll try to work it in, resident, and then they'll go down in somewhere. Well, he's actually a resident, or he's a sort of domicile, or it's a this, that, and the other type nonsense. But it's always resident. Why? Don't they know that there's somebody domiciled in the damn state? Of course they do. The republic's been overthrown. It's all there. But you and I have been, everybody's listening has done it. I guarantee you. There's nobody exempt. Because you're going to have a driver's license, you have a bank account or something. Or you've been on a jury, anything. Birth certificates. Somewhere it's all tied together. Your affection in law. But like I said, then if you start and look at this statutory creation of a corporation, how do they get around another statutory creation called a citizen of the United States and a resident of a state? How do they do that? Quite simple. There's no several states. We just define United States to be the geographical territory outside the geographical United States. So it includes all possessions, territories, the several states, anything. Do you think that our republic was set up that the several states didn't have any jurisdiction? There was a subject to the jurisdiction. It was all geographical. Do you think the people, the forefathers, set this up subject to the jurisdiction? They created all these constitutions, but it's all subject to the jurisdiction you're of. Do you think there was a catch-22? I don't recall that being in there. Do you? There are no several states. In their world, they had to eliminate the land. So they just redefined it. It's outside. It's the United States. Another United States means the geographical. All territories and possessions. Do you think that the legislatures of the several states have the same authority in the several states to legislate as they do in the territories, possession, and the District of Columbia? Really? They were given a limited delegation in the several states. Limited. Extremely limited by the Constitution. Forts, arsenals, needful building, commerce, those type of things. Immigration. Within the District of Columbia, territories of possession, they have plenary power. They can do any frickin' thing they want and get away with. They're supposed to be in the Constitution, but they just do anything they want. And you are a citizen of the United States. Except, isn't it interesting that in the District of Columbia, the 14th Amendment has no application? Oh, yeah, Supreme Court said so. What the hell's going on here? Oh, the citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia is a qualified elector. Yeah. Isn't that just... So wait a minute. Well, this is starting to get confusing here. You think? Well, start off and remember there is the constitutional citizen of the United States and a citizen of the several states that attests to the law of the land. The inalienable rights of the Creator... is at the top. That starts it. If you want to throw that away, fine. Go for it. Get into Saul Alinsky's nonsense. A con job. Obama, Clinton were star pupils. Clinton did a thesis on it. She even met him. And he dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to guess who? Lucifer. Is that a surprise? Oh, damn, that's hard to believe. Would she do that? Would somebody be running for president of the United States that's a star pupil of somebody that donates a book to Lucifer? That's hard to believe. Wouldn't want facts like that to get out, would we? So now we have that a corporation, when it is created in Michigan in this case, it stays there. It can't pack up and say, oh, I think I want to go to New York now and go under the laws of New York. No, it's stuck there. And if you're going to sue the damn thing, you got to sue it as a citizen of another one of Michigan. It is considered a citizen of Michigan because Michigan gave it the authority to exist. Because you see in the Judiciary Act, it talks about an inhabitant of the United States. And they say the use of inhabitant of the United States is a citizen. What a novel idea. We're attached to the land. We're real people. We have men and women and children, all attached to the land under the inalienable rights of the Creator. So now we go, and I'm going to skip a bunch here because we're talking about a citizen of the United States and a citizen of one of the several states up to the statutorily created one, the benefit one. They started that back about 10 years earlier, what's called the Public Rights Doctrine. Taxation for citizens of the United States, the ones that sit under the plenary power. They were doing the preliminary foundational work. Then they come along and create the fictional citizen of the United States to go into the territories where they have plenary power and a resident of a state. And then they put it in the 14th. And it's all subject to this, subject to the jurisdiction you're of. So then they said about Trappist. They get all these states to sign up for a citizen of the United States. Nonsense. But they had to get the 17th done, 17th Amendment. They had to get rid of the standing of the citizens of the standing of the several states. Electing the legislatures are supposed to, because that's a whole different standing. That's the republic. So each one of these foreign states have exactly the same. They got rid of that with the 17th. Let's put it all back to the citizens of the United States, the fictions and law. So we took our Senate and put it under the plenary power of Congress. So the several states no longer have standing. We, the people, no longer have standing because we don't know any better. We're not taught. We're given the line of BS. Then we get this taxation nonsense going. Internal revenue laws. Who's it for? Definition in 5 U.S.C. 552A, A2. That's 5 U.S.C. 552A, A2. Somebody called in with that. That's good. An individual is a citizen of the United States. So we have an individual income tax. So you're a citizen of the United States. You have nothing to do with any of the several states. You are a... We've taken it one step farther. You're not a citizen of the United States and a resident of a state. You're totally a federal citizen under the plenary power of Congress. And I have it in a couple of cases. United States of America is a sovereign body politic. How in the hell did we get a sovereign body politic in our republic? Congress. We signed up for it. And we support it. Men and women fight and die for it because we have no idea of the con job. Then we go look at the regulations that they use. It talks about the internal revenue laws, the individual income tax is only for a citizen of the United States. Yeah, that's in the regulation. Then we take it one step back and we go back to the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. And they say, you know what, this thing, they had the Walter Logan Act they were going to pass in 1940, couldn't get it through. FDR died or was killed before they got it through in 1946. And they say right in there is for substantive regulations, the laws, these that have the force and effect of law. The force and effect of law under the color of law. What the hell happened? Just plain laws of the United States, and laws of Minnesota, laws of New York, laws of Georgia. What? Where did it go? And in that same congressional record, it said that when Congress enacts something, it doesn't affect the quote individual citizen. Who in the hell is that? Individual citizen. That's a citizen of the United States, stand alone. The regulations say so, 1960. I've got all of them from the Part 19 to 29 to Part 39 to 1934 when they went into the nonsense we have with 1986. A citizen of the United States without anything. How can you have a tax on a citizen of the United States if you don't have a domicile? And it's even worse because it says in the Administrative Procedures Act, the Congressional Record, there has to be a direct statutory authority for every regulation. Do they do that?
No.
How do we know that? Thanks to Amy Bunk, Federal Register. She helped me out how to read this nonsense. You go in the Federal Register and you look and say, does it say it was made for as under 5 USC, or it's 552, B as in Baker. The IRS says right in them, we're not doing them. What's wrong with you damn people out there? You signed up. We got you tricked. It's a con job. There is no statutory authority for their regulations. They just made it up. They file in these IRS cases then. Is there any citizenship in there? Well, we don't need it. But wait a minute. How do you get into a constitutional federal court if you don't have citizenship? Oh, I know how we do that. We don't have constitutional courts. In 1948, they did away with them, except for the Federal Court of Claims. And later, the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. They just did away with them. They renamed them. District Court of the United States went to United States District Court. Where's the power under Article 3, Section 2, for all laws and equity? The judicial power of the United States. Oh, we don't need that stuff. We're doing a scam. So they took the territorial courts. They took the District of Columbia, that's totally unique. They took the courts of the several states, put them in Chapter 5 and said, you know, we found all of these damn courts in Chapter 5, so they must all be the same. I'm not kidding you. 28 U.S.C. 132. And then we have the judicial power of a district court. What does that mean? What happens to the judicial power of the United States, which arises, gets its power from the Constitution, the contract? Oh, we don't need that no more. We only got citizens of the United States. They don't need none of that damn stuff. So what did Congress do? This is the other one of the illusions. They implemented the Star Chamber courts. Yep. We even got it back in Curtis Lyson where he got a speeding ticket. You don't have any constitutional rights when you get on national land. They put it in black and white. You're done. There's no right trial by jury. There's no nothing. So what is a Star Chamber Court? Why did England get rid of Star Chamber Courts? How can I recognize them? What are they? You see, when you have a really a true trial by jury, or even a bench trial, there's a novel idea. You're supposed to have the law of the United States or the law of the several states presented at the beginning. Then there's supposed to be evidence in support of the essential elements of that crime. Does that ever happen? Nope. They can't go there. Trial by jury is an illusion. So how'd they get rid of it? 1934, they come out and said, by the way, our rules of court trump all statutes. So 1940, they did the same thing with criminal. So now they put rules of court to the Supreme Court. They put them to Congress. 6 months later, the rules of court is where it's all at. We don't need statutes no more. Well, we had to get rid of statutes because we got fictions in law that have no frickin' land. They're not attached to nothing. Well, we can't. Well, then we got to have the courts. The courts don't exist, so how do we do that? Well, we have rules of courts. So to hell with the statutes. Can't have those. And then we got the regulations that Congress says has to exist. Is this getting good or what?
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite. A garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Okay, well, we're back here. So now we started off with a citizen of the United States and a citizen of one of the several states. Then in 1866, we came up with a citizen of the United States that wants the same rights as a white citizen. Then in the 14th, we say, oh, we want a citizen of the United States, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, of course, and resident of a state. Resident is no-no. Citizen of the United States, where is its domicile? Well, they had a problem, so we just redefine the definition of the United States. So there's no several states. It's the geographical. Go look in your definitions. Geographical United States. So now we don't have the several states. Just the outside. So now we can put all the territories, possessions, and everybody all together. Then we did the Administrative Procedures Act. Well, when in 1870 we did the... First of all, we had to do two things. We had to be able to naturalize blacks because we couldn't let that stand. So we can naturalize them, but nobody knows that. Of course, blacks are naturalized, or other races too. But then we created the 42 United States Code 1983 type lawsuits now where citizenship is irrelevant. It's under the color of law. It just looks like. So now we came up to 1917. We did the 17th, so we got rid of the several states doing the legislatures for senators. So now the several states have no standing. We have no standing. Of course, they changed the Pledge of Allegiance in 1920s to be United States of America, which is Congress, sovereign body politic. I got it in a couple of IRS cases. Then we proceeded forward to March 3rd, 1933. Mr. Herbert Hoover, he gets around, and he, on March 3rd, 1933, he repealed, signed in, and repealed what the Congress already had it set up. 1,006 statutes of 1878. Now, we just have the 1926 code where they always do repealers and bring everything up to date. So what happened then? What happened? Well, what happened is they were getting set up for March 4th, 1933, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his New Deal came in. So what was his New Deal? Do we have evidence of it? Oh, yeah. You see, the nice thing about Westlaw is from 1921 to about 1980, I have access also to get into the GAO, into some of these Senate and House reports, and where these guys are talking about what they're doing to us. Because it's so damn delicious what they're doing. How many people have seen it? Very few. I haven't seen some of this stuff till I go back and take an act. I go back and I got to download it, and I got to look at it. But what did they do? Senate report, this House of Representatives report, 280, 1935. Obama knows how this works. There's no doubt. I can listen to him talk. Thank God I'll be rid of that piece of garbage. But he says, oh, I can't pass laws. Congress has got to do that. Absolutely true. Then he turns around and does executive orders and said, I can do that. He's right on both counts. And they seem like opposing. They're not. He can't make laws of the United States. But he can do executive orders. How? How do they do that? Don't you want to know how? How are you going to defeat it if you can't identify it? Well, you see, it started March 4th, 1933. The National Recovery Administration. 2,998 administrative orders. 674 executive orders. Up through from 1933 to 1935. They passed the National Recovery Administration. Administration! And you know what they call this stuff? These executive orders and these administrative orders? Law. It's on page one. This is the Federal Register Act. They put it in black and white. The President of the United States is an agency. No different than the IRS. No different than the Federal Reserve. They're all external establishments. They sit outside the law. So does he. But he does executive orders. He puts them in the Federal Register. Congress can up or down them. And for citizens of the United States, people that have no land, no domicile, no birthright, they're law. They're under the color of law. And the place to go is 42 United States 1983 under color of law to sue another one of these fictions. These beneficial guys. That's why it gets so ridiculous to try to get anywhere. Back in a minute.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with three shots from the rear and one shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Okay. I'm going to spend this last half hour going over this again because these concepts are so critical. And if we don't have any idea of how we're being conned, how are you going to win? Can't. We are founded under the inalienable rights of our Creator, born on the land, birthright, citizenship, citizen of one of the several states. We started off Articles of Confederation for a more perfect union, citizen of our Constitution of the United States. We have the Constitution of the several states. Therefore, as a matter of law, anybody born in this country from two natural parents, parents that are here legally and lawfully, are American citizens. They're citizens of one of the several states. They're a citizen of the United States. And they're a citizen of the United States of America, which in reality is a traveling citizenship. That's what everybody is naturalized as. It says so on the certificate. Then you become domiciled in one of the several states. And then you're under the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of that several state that you're in. So everybody is a citizen of the United States and a citizen of one of the several states. On the land, law of the land. Then they came along in 1866 and created a statutory. And we know this by just like this statutory in this case here. It says a corporation, wherever it's created, it's under the laws of that state. It's under control of that state. Whoever created it, it can't move around. The citizen of the United States that was created in 1866, memorialized in the 14th, is a fiction in law. It's a statutory creation. And how do we know that? because it says subject to the jurisdiction thereof. What kind of laws do we have when it says subject to the jurisdiction thereof? It's totally illogical. And it says resident or resides. Resident resides. Supreme Court says it's you can't use those words. Because a district can have more than one of the several states, or one of the several states can have more than one district. Just can't do that. Got to have a domicile. Got to be a citizen of a state. One of the several states, not a citizen of a state, a citizen of the several states. That puts you on the land. Or you can do the statutory citizen of the United States, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and a resident. Then they ran into the problem, which is like in this case, well, if you're a corporation, you are a citizen of the state of where you are created. You can't pick up and move. It says so. You're done. Well, how are they going to get around that with a citizen of the United States and a resident of a state? You're a statutory creation, too, if you want to be there. Well, they just redefined the land. We don't have no land no more. Citizen of the United States is geographical territory boundaries. There's no several states. So it's the territories, possessions, D.C., everything. Is that the way a republic was set up? I thought Congress had only a limited delegation of power in the several states, only to certain things enumerated in the Constitution. Immigration, commerce, things along those lines. I didn't know they had plenary absolute power. They don't, as long as we're attached to the land. They created a statutory citizen of the United States. Babcock and a whole bunch of cases have said that once you're under the statutory of fictional, it's called creating rights against the United States, which another word is saying creating a benefit. They created the benefit for the blacks to have the same rights as white citizens. Memorialized it in the 14th. And then they just redefined the United States. Well, there's no land there, so therefore we can have citizens of the United States and resident of a state. Because there's no land to attach to. So Congress can legislate for this entity anywhere. They're the same whether you're in a territory, possession, or one of the several states. Then they take it a lot farther because you see when you get up to the IRS, they only put taxes on citizens of the United States. Under the plenary power. And they get away with it. There's no jurisdiction. Of course, in 1870, they came up with the blacks. They said, oh, we could have naturalized you and made you citizens of one of the several states, or citizens of the United States, just like everybody else. You couldn't run for president because you weren't born here, but you'd be naturalized. All the rights, not the same rights. You'd be equal in all respect. Oh, we don't talk about that. Then they had to create the under the color of law, 42 United States Code, 1983. 1870 was the beginning of that. Under the color of law. What the hell happened to the law? Why do I want under color of law? Well, it works. Everybody's doing it, so it must be all right, huh? So we do citizens of the United States against citizens of the United States or whoever. We don't give a who, how, hoot in those lawsuits because citizenship's irrelevant. You're in the land of Oz. We just made it up. Territories, possessions, all that. It don't make any difference where you're domiciled. It's irrelevant. So then they had to put in the, because see, they wanted to have the President of the United States and Congress and to be able to implement, interpret, and prescribe law. All three branches into one. So they did that in the Administrative Procedures Act, 1946. They set up, first of all, in 1935, that the President of the United States, an agency means President of the United States. How in the hell could an agency mean, or a federal agency mean, President of the United States? It's, again, totally illogical. Same standing as an IRS, as the Federal Reserve, as all these other external establishments, these things that exist in la-la land that operate by regulations. Well, you see, Congress wanted to create, take over our republic, so they got executive orders, and that's why he's able to do it. So Obama issues executive orders. He puts them in the Federal Register. Congress up or downs them. They leave them alone. Everything's fine. The agencies put in regulations. They're supposed to have statutory authority for all of them. They don't. They're supposed to be a subsidy of having the force an effective law. See, under the color of law, we have the forced effective law in the land of Oz. The IRS does put out a list of statutory authority for some regulations, but that's just the first phase of it, because the bottom line is they say in the Federal Register, we're not doing 553B, which means subsidy. They don't even do force and effective law for citizens of the United States. Why should they? Because they can't. Nobody knows how to read this nonsense. So anyway, the agencies put their nonsense in. This is Congress saying, hey, when we enact something, that's in their stuff. Nothing affects the individual citizen, which is a citizen of the United States, until there's a regulation to expand on it or define it. It says so right in the congressional record. So they put it in the Federal Register, proposed law, comes back as a final law, final regulation, I mean. And then Congress has 6 months to say, well, let's see, did you guys do what we wanted you to do here? This little con job that we just pulled off on the American people, did you do it right? Congress has 6 months to up or down it. Do they ever down any of them? Almost never. And for a citizen of the United States, they have the force and effect of law. Because if you don't know how to fight them, like Texas did in 25 states, say, well, guess what? You didn't abide by the 5 U.S.C. 551 number 4. It's 5 U.S.C. 551 number 4. That is the beginning of what we would call in our traditional a bill. You didn't do it. But they're saying, why should we? How many attorneys understand this? Very few that I've ever talked to. They don't have a clue. Burnoff knows. He's an attorney. He knows. But he says scorched earth can't use that approach. Well, wait a minute. So I can't tell the truth. So they overthrew the statutes in 1934 with an act of Congress. Said there are rules of court. Take all statutes except we hold inviolate trial by a jury. 1940, they did the same thing with the criminal. 1948, they changed the name of the court and put it under they put all these different courts all in the same chapter, all chapter 5, and said, yep, they're all the same. We got eagles, chickens, and turkeys in here, and they're all the same. Really? You think? That's what they did. And then Congress, in its great wisdom, uses only star chamber courts. What are they? Inquisitions. You confess. What is trilemma. Trilemma. We got three options in here. Books and records. Incriminate yourself. That's the first one. And do it under the penalties of perjury. That's two. That's an inquisition under the star chamber or the trilemma. And then if you don't do, you go into books and records. John Thornton's is the best documented one we got. If you don't do what I want you, and under the penalties of perjury, the SIR agent says, well, I don't think he did that, and then goes back into the court. The guy that's the Wagner, the IRS agent, files into the court, doesn't even do it under the name of an attorney, doesn't do it under the penalties of perjury, and says, he didn't comply, I want him found in contempt of court. And this damn judge is supposed to be a constitutional court, says, yep, it's clear and convincing evidence. Contempt of court, except they wouldn't do it because they couldn't. They went to the Eighth Circuit. They go through Rule 47 of the federal rules to the local rules. All the local rules are their ones where they overthrew. They said our rules of court trump everything, and they get to Thornton's and said, oh, you know what? We don't got any jurisdiction, but we're going to uphold what happened, and y'all have a nice day. That was fun. I am not kidding you. You couldn't make this stuff up. How is Trump going to be able to do the executive orders? Well, if Obama can do them, Trump can undo them. They're not law. They're under the color of law. But if one man can put them in, one man can take them out. Go for it. Undo a whole bunch of those damn things. That's going to make a major difference in this country. Is Trump going to get to the absolute core of our problem? No, not initially. But he's going to make a hell of a change. But that's why they can get around, and the DOJ and all these people, because, you see, citizens of the United States, there's no laws of the United States. They don't exist. People can't grasp the concept. Go read some of these congressional records. They're talking about this stuff. They lay it out. It's the illusion. That's why it's so important to get your status correct, because when you put it into the public record that I am a citizen of Alaska or citizen of Minnesota or citizen of Texas, and I am not a statutorily created citizen of the United States, and you get it into the public record under their rules of evidence, which is what they use, 901 number 7, self-authenticating. Now what are they going to do? Then the most next important thing is to change the voter registration. I modify it. There's no authority to do what they do. There is no authority for a citizen of the United States to a citizen of the United States cannot exercise the elective franchise. That ought to be a wake-up call right there. You think? You have the right to vote, but there's no elective franchise. Different. Supreme Court said so. So you put in your status that you're a citizen of Minnesota, citizen of Texas, or wherever, and you vote. That's why they want the motor voter, and they want up in Alaska. They want the permanent fund now to be, I don't even know if it passed. Oh, you get the permanent fund, the benefit. We want to sign you up as a citizen of the United States to vote. I've walked into jury. I don't get called for jury. One, you have to get the permanent fund, which they won't give me because I'm not a citizen of the United States. I put in otherwise, but they still don't want to deal with it, and I just haven't had the time. But you go into a jury up here, and they'll say, is everybody here a citizen of the United States? Just hold up your hand. Walk up, tell the judge. She'll let you walk out the door if you know what you're doing. Because you have to be a citizen of the United States in Alaska. You got to be a citizen of the United States in a federal jury. Federal juries, if you have ever sat and watched them in trial by jury, everybody's a citizen of the United States. They put in all sorts of non-essential elements of the crime. They get all through at the end. The attorney said, oh, we got our proposed rules for law. Wait a minute, what the hell are we doing here if nobody knows the laws? At the end of a trial? I just watched a soccer game and you're going to tell me what the rules are at the end? And I'm going to tell you if it was done right or not? Oh, I must be really damn slow. They give the essential elements, some of them, not all of them, at the end of the trial. The jury has sat there and been propagandized with non-essential, oh, you had a bank account. You had gold coins. Whoa, golly, gee whiz. What am I guilty of? I don't know. It's a scam, folks. It's all an illusion. Go into the Matrix. That's about as close as you're going to get, or at the Land of Oz. But we need to get our status right. We need to understand who we are. And then I've got to get into the Court of Claims and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. We are going to have some of these cases into United States District Court. But I was trying to find out, how do you get a diversity of citizenship if the other person doesn't exist in that world? Now, that's an interesting question. Say I'm a citizen in Minnesota. Who in the hell's the other guy? He says he's a citizen of the United States, but there is no diversity of citizen of the United States by itself. There's no diversity of citizenship for a citizen of the United States and a resident of a state. That doesn't exist either. Whoa, wait a minute here. We're starting to have some problems here, you think? So we got to confess for them. That's all we can do. Put in our status. Certified true and correct copy. See what they do. I don't know. Put in a copy of the voter thing. See what they do. Like in a case up there that I'm writing up here is based on the United States Fish and Feathers Wildlife. Based on a pamphlet. And they use definitions out of a pamphlet that those definitions don't even exist, and the pamphlet doesn't have a damn thing to do with anything. It's got to be a subsidy reg, and then you go back to the statute, and it still ain't defined. And they put a man in jail and say, oh, guess what? Sign up. Oh, we'll let you out of jail. Wow, that sounds like a republic. These are inquisitions. They're inquisitors. These people have no statutory authority. They make it up as they go. That's why all these code enforcement and all these people are so damn dangerous, because there's no rule of law. It's all rigged. As Trump would say, it's all rigged. It's an illusion.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, well, we're back here, and this is really an important concept. It's at the base of the tree. We are a citizen of the United States and one of the several states. That's a fact. Under the constitutions. Constitution of the United States, Constitution of the state where you are. Corporations are a citizen of the state that they're created in, but it's a benefit to exist. Then in 1866, they created a statutory citizen of the United States. A benefit. They have the same rights as white citizens. Memorialized it in the 14th, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And you're a resident of a state, which the Supreme Court says is nonsense. Can't do it. How can you have a republic subject to the jurisdiction thereof as a qualifier? And, of course, 1870, they made it so the blacks are all, Negroes are all naturalized. They fixed that problem, of course, but nobody knows. Then we also come up with the color of law. Because if we got fictions in law, we got to have color of law. Citizens of the United States doing citizens of the United States. That's in 42 United States Code, 1983. Of course, we got rid of the Circuit Court of the United States in 1911, the Constitutional Court. 1913, we got rid of the standing of the several states, making them citizens of the United States. That's why these people are trying to get rid of the Electoral College, because then if we have get rid of the Electoral College, all of the high population states like New York, California, and that will make everybody else irrelevant. Each one of these countries only gets a certain number of electoral votes based on their population. And if they got 99% of them or 51%, it makes no difference. If they got 99%, then Alaska's irrelevant. South Dakota's irrelevant. We have no republic. This is a republic between the several states and the population of the people. It's not a democracy. Then, of course, in 1933, they repealed all of the statutes, 106 of them. Hoover did. FDR started the National Recovery Act, or administration, not act, where executive orders and administrative orders were law. Then in 1935, they said, well, let's make it official. You're the same president of the United States as a federal agency. This means. So he puts his stuff in the Federal Register, and he rules the citizens of the United States by executive order. Yep, puts it in the Federal Register. Congress can up or down it. Not to be outdone, Congress waited until 1946. They wanted to totally be in control of everything. Implement, prescribe law, interpret. Right in the Administrative Procedures Act for all agencies, all three branches, traditional. Put it in the Federal Register, comes out. Goes in as a prescribed law or proposed regulation, comes out as a final regulation. Congress has the 6 months to up or down it, and then we're done. Isn't that just special? And it has the force and effect of law. That's Chrysler v. Brown. Why is everything the force and effect of law? Why is everything the color of law? Because it's fictional. Of course, they had the other problem, like I was talking about before also. The corporations are stuck in the land where they're created under the laws of whatever state. They can't skip around. Well, how does a citizen of the United States, how does he hop skip around? Because he's a statutory creation too. Oh, we just do away with the land. They redefine the United States as geographical. So we put territories, possessions, several states, D.C. We're all the same. There are no several states. We don't need them. Then the IRS is strictly citizen of the United States. They don't even put in the other nonsense. That's why all these states, you can't have a state income tax without having a federal income tax. So, anyway, I hope you picked up something today. And thank God Trump got in. Watch out for the federales. They're everywhere. We will see you next Sunday, God willing.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org 800-326-2001.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.